All right, Revelation Road teaching. Here we go. Last time we got together, let's see. We were talking about, and I'm only going to go very, very fast for this because we were in Revelation chapter 8, verse 5, weren't we? Absolutely, we were in verse 5. And I was talking to you about verse 1 through 5 was preparatory. It was preparatory. A calculated approach to judgment. Remember, God doesn't do anything in an instant. Not when it comes to judgment, because God is a good God. He's a merciful Father, and He tries to deal with man. And you're going to see that later on this teaching tonight. He tries to deal with man in so many ways that's beyond my understanding how patient He is. Because I don't know about you, but I don't possess that quality. You know, with the Holy Spirit helping me, I can. But how many of y'all know that you and I have a level to where we just say, that's it, I'm done. Thank you. Goodbye. Toodaloo. But He doesn't do that. So we talked about that. There's no hidden meaning here. We're talking about much like Moses on the mount. And so we are we there? Yeah, and the angel took the censer and he filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it upon the earth. And there were voices, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. Again, we talked about this angel being the Lord Jesus. And you're going to see even tonight in teaching that word angel can be translated so many different ways. And in this, we know it's the Lord Jesus because it is the priestly duties, as I explained fairly long explanation trying to get you to see that. And so we're confident of that. And then when I said there's nothing to see here, lightning, thunders, and earthquake. Go back to what Moses was doing on the mount. And so there's no hidden thing that, you know, what's happening here. It's just when you're around the presence of God, it is absolutely all. It's all struck. You're just amazed at what's going on around Him. Okay, verse 6. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Again, I talked about that. I don't know what they were doing to prepare. Again, I don't know if they're going me, 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 mo, 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 mo. I don't know what they're doing, but they're preparing. So there's, again, a time of preparation. I think, to me, if heaven is fixing to produce judgment and there's a little bit of time to prepare, I think we ought to be preparing too. Yeah, I think we should be preparing because, again, it shows you God's goodness, God's mercy, and His patience. Okay, somebody may look at it a little differently than I do, but that's how I see that. Okay, so the next verse, and the first angel sounded, he trumpeted, really is what the word should be. He didn't sound, he trumpeted. And there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burnt up. I gave you the illustration of the Chicago fire that wasn't Mrs. Leary's O'Leary's cow. It goes all the way back to those other incidents I told you, those in Wisconsin, and the worst fire in American history that most scientists in some hidden history, when I say hidden, it's been covered up by historians, if you will, trying to get away from the fact that a comet actually, or a meteor, actually hit the United States in such a dramatic way that it split up and caused fires in three different states that burnt all that land that I talked about. So you got to go back to hear that. Wasn't that pretty powerful? And I used that illustration just to tell us that, hey, things like that can happen again, but on a much larger scale. So it's not impossible. And then, of course, we talked about the things that happened with the children of Israel. So we'll get past all that. So it was cast upon the earth. Third part of the trees were burned up. All the green grass was burned up. That's absolutely amazing. Think about it. All right, verse 8. And the second angel sounded, as it were, a great mountain burning with fire, was cast into the sea. Remember, the word cast means to, it doesn't necessarily mean to throw, it means to let go. In other words, it was held back, but then it was let go. So it's not necessarily thrown, as you'll see later on. So there's a little different terminology. And because of that, and I look at the great mountain word there, which is magos, the mountain, it's a fiery mountain, which means to raise up in the Greek. I, for me personally, teach it as a volcano. that a very good possibility of a volcano. So we take the natural and we say, does science and nature prove this? Yeah, the Canary Islands. We talked about that volcano and what they said by scientists, not prophecy, you know, scary preachers, but by scientists who don't even know God. Remember what we talked about, how huge this tsunami would be when this lets go, if you will. It falls into the sea. And I think I told you some of it. Actually, I told you all of it. Here, let's go over that real quick. If it fell off, if it slipped into the ocean, they believe that an undersea slide would take place that would cause a tsunami 2,950 feet tall, which is 245 stories tall. That's pretty big, don't you think? It will go from Miami to Boston, Spain, and the entire Caribbean, and England at 500 miles per hour, and it would go 12.5 miles inland. Scientists, that's the best they can figure out on this huge volcano that is slipping already. Every year they have an earthquake, and people freak out, and they evacuate, and there's good reason for that. So we said that to say, is that what that is? It could be. There is a natural indication saying that it could be, but it doesn't matter. A great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood. Next verse. And the third part of the creatures were in the sea that had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Again, we looked at the shipping maps, Jennifer and I. We covered up one third of the shipping maps, and you can just imagine the Atlantic Ocean. I was actually blown away how many ships go through the Atlantic. I thought it was further, you know, down, what is that down there, by Panama and all that. I thought there was more of a shipping lanes, but no, it's actually over in the Atlantic. So I was shocked. And if you took that away, that would be one third. So you could imagine, you're not getting stuff on the market right now. You know, we're getting delayed now. You imagine what it would be like then. So those are just some examples. Again, we don't know the totality of what it's going to be, but we know this is going to happen. So could you imagine the devastation that is going to take place? So that's a little bit of an overview from last time. We're going to get away from that. Again, I encourage you to go to the archives and get the full Monte on that, get the full understanding, because there's so much to teach. And one of the things you have to understand about the book of Revelation, when it comes to the judgments of God, they're literal judgments. And then you have to look back at history, biblical history, and obviously world history, and say, is there a precedent for it? Is there something that has happened in the past, or a possibility, or something like that, that could be enlarged by, you know, by who knows how much, to justify this possibilities? And when you do that, you look at world history and biblical history, and you go, wow, man, you know, God's done this, or it's happened in nature, so you can imagine what's going to take place. Okay, verse 10. This is part 3 of this, and we're going to finish this chapter. That's my goal tonight. Somebody help me. That's my goal. I didn't say I'm going to make it, but that's my goal. And the third angel trumpeted, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon a third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters. I want to say this in the beginning of the teaching, that from verse 7 to verse 10, some scholars believe that it's the same event. Okay, and I'm gonna kind of bit and piece this for you, but I'll put it back together. It's kind of broken, but they believe that this is the same event. In other words, it leads to the same event, and I'll explain that more in just a minute. So just keep that in your mind, because you're reading these things in the first part of chapter 8, and you're like, wow, man, that's a lot of destruction. A lot of stuff's happening. It is, but again, it's going to culminate. It's going to come to this one particular event. So I just want you to see that, all right, or know that. So the third angel trumpeted, and there fell a great star. We know the word star there is actually asteroid. That's what it means, astir or asteroid, from heaven, burning it as it was a lamp. The word lamp there in the Greek is lampos, which means bright and brilliant, okay? And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the water. So I want you to see this. It fell upon the third part of the rivers. The third part of the rivers. So we have the mega star or asteroid, okay? Also, I want you to write down that trumpets are always to get our attention. Trumpets are always in the Bible for attention. It's either attention for war, it's attention for disaster, it's attention to worship God. Whatever it is, trumpets represent attention. So here we are with this third angel trumpeting, getting our attention because something is very, very bad that's going to take place. Okay? So again, the word is astro, which is asteroid, and it's to be strewn over the sky. Strewn over the sky. And that's, again, where we get the word asteroid, burning like a lamp, I gave you that, which also means not just a bright light, but a torch. So think about your science class days when they'd show us videos, or you'd see in the books the big asteroids and the fireball behind it. It's like, oh, yeah, cool, you know, whatever. We used to look at that stuff, and I know as a child we'd hope it hit the school so we could leave, but it never did. Abby's like, yeah, you're homeschooled. Don't hope for that. All right. So the Greek used the word to mean a meteor or asteroid or comet. Okay. So we know that's there. Third part of the rivers. Third part of the rivers. So when you see that, it doesn't mean just like the normal rivers. It's speaking of drinking water. So when you see that in the terminology, as you think of rivers, the Mississippi River, what have you, it's really speaking of drinking waters or rivers that can produce drinking waters, okay? So how can it fall on a third of the rivers? Think about it for a second. How does that work? If it's rivers, how does it fall on a third of the rivers? Because the rivers are everywhere, is that right? Exactly. So it's speaking of the drinking capacity, healthy waters, because the next thing it proves itself, Scripture always proves itself, a part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. So the fountains are what feeds the rivers or feeds the wells, the things that we get our water from, the water sources. So when you look at what's about to happen, God is producing a judgment upon man's ability to nurture himself, to drink, to satisfy himself, and to survive. And so he's going to deal with that. Remember, man can only go so long with food, but you can only last about 3 days without water. That's it. That's as far as you can go. You have to have water. If you've ever been around somebody who dehydrates, it's not a very pretty scene. And that could be over a day, a couple hours, actually. Depends on what activities they're up to. It could be pretty devastating, even life-threatening. Okay, so he's dealing with man when it comes to that. And again, these fountains are talking about the storages of water, the wells of water, where we keep our water. All right? The reason why this is so devastating is because man always seems to have the answer when it comes to emergency. You know, man is really resilient. If you don't believe that, come with me on a missions trip or come with me on a disaster relief trip, and you'll see people who just make it. They just improvise and they live off of nothing, or their place is destroyed, but yet their spirits are high and they got the pioneering spirit to rebuild. When this happens, man's not going to have that capacity because he gets hit so many times like a domino, because this is judgment. And this is where we have a hard time, because we look at God as merciful and loving and all the things that he is, but then we have a hard time dealing with him being judge. Right? Absolutely. The church today refuses to hear this message of judgment because they can't see God like he shows himself. But he does. He judges. And so man tries to prepare. Listen, your survival drinking straw is not going to work on this one. Okay, here was an interesting fact when I was looking this up, just to prove to you science and nature, how they work together. Just over one-third, 37% of the world's 246 longest rivers remain free-flowing, according to scientists. In other words, there's no dam, they're not dammed up, they're free-flowing, and that's a third. Don't you find that kind of interesting, and now how it's being set up for the third to be dealt with? I think it's very interesting. But that's where we are. So you can only again, you can only last for so long without water. So let's move on. So the next verse says, and the name of the star or the asteroid is called Wormwood. Wormwood, which means bitterness. Is that right? It means bitterness. It's hemlock. It's not necessarily poisonous. It just means that it's bitter. But actually, the word goes deeper. Instead of just bitterness and bitter water, it means calamity. Its definition, the root definition, is calamity. Okay? So here we have all these other things that are taking place in the prior verses to now we see, verse 7 to 10, now we start to see even greater damage and greater calamity from this asteroid that is called Wormwood. All right? Lamentations chapter 3, verse 15. Let's look at a couple scriptures just so we can kind of correlate the two, put them together. Lamentations 3:15. Let's see what we got there. Lamentations. And he has filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. So he's talking about here in his Lamentations, he's talking about the sorrow. He's talking about the calamity. Okay? Again, going back to Revelation chapter 8, verse 11 there, we see that type of calamity. So go to Jeremiah 9:15. Again, the Bible explains itself, and we get a better understanding. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with what? Wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink. So again, bitterness, calamity, chaos, crisis is what this is alluding to. Okay? So it's not that it just doesn't taste good. And we won't go there, but Exodus chapter 15, 23 through 25, talks about where they went to the waters of Marah. Remember that? The waters were bitter. He took them to bitter waters. And again, God will bring a nation and a people to bitterness and to calamity for the reason of judgment and the reason to change their hearts and to see things the way he does, because he did everything he possibly could to get them to see it, but they couldn't see it or wouldn't see it. They rejected the truth. And then he has to get harsh. He has to use judgment, okay? So this wormwood, we're going to talk more about it. I'm just trying to give you a little bit of groundwork before I really blow it up really big and teach deeper on it. But the name of the star is called Wormwood. It's an asteroid. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. It became bitter. Basically, it became undrinkable. And many men, how many? Many. Now, ladies, don't giggle. That's you too. Because it's translated humanity. You know, some women are like, that's right. Oh, you all going to die. No. No, it's humanity died of the waters because they were made bitter. Again, they couldn't drink it. They couldn't drink it. I think that's pretty obvious. We don't know how many will die, but many's many. Many men. So here you go in these trumpet judgments, and we're starting to see men begin to die. Earlier, we did see some things in the seals that dealt with humanity, but a lot of things we saw dealt with what? Creation. Okay? So God is about to turn from dealing with creation to dealing with those he created. Okay? And I think, to me, again, this is my personal teaching preference and my view of God. I think that as he deals with nature, he signals. He raises the alarm. He raises the warning and says, listen, I'm going to deal with you next. I'm shaking the earth, but I'm going to deal with humanity. I'm dealing with the seas, and I'm dealing with the trees, and I'm dealing with the ground and the grass. But guess what? I'm going to deal with you. And I personally believe that during that period of time, many people will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, because you and I that are here, that are alive, we're going to be sounding the alarm saying, listen, this is what we're telling you. This is what's coming next. Could you imagine how it will be to have the headlines of tomorrow today? Come on now. As a Christian, And those that are you that struggle with witnessing or what have you, there will be no struggle because you'll be like, look, I'm telling you, this is what's coming up next. And as they see the things happening like dominoes, progressive judgments, they'll begin to wake up and say, oh my gosh, you're right. I'm going to prove to you that momentarily because it's a very amazing time. It's not just a time to hide and get your beanie weenies and your survival straw that won't work and try to camp out and make it through it. It's not going to be that way. We're going to be witnessing and showing people the love of God. And somebody says, well, how could you see the love of God in this? You have no choice. I guess you do. But what a great choice to recognize and realize that God loves you and that he can get you through this. And I think a lot of people are going to see that. Okay? Now let me ask you this. Has anything like this happened before? So we have this asteroid, this wormwood. It's coming to the earth. It's going to do this thing that I just read to you. But so let's talk about, has this ever happened before? Because I like to go look at history and I like to look at the Bible and kind of see. Apparently, the largest asteroid impact in the world was in Australia. Some may know this already. It had a 250-mile-wide impact. Don't you think that's pretty big? It was so big, it split apart 6 miles in diameter apiece. It came, it split, and that's what the damage that it did. Very interesting, isn't it? You can also go, and I don't know if I have this in my notes. If I don't, it's from the research I did. It's in my mind. But over outside of the peninsula there in Mexico, one of the great meteorites that was discovered, the crater, scientists say that's what caused the ice age and caused the dinosaurs to die and whatever. It depends on how far you want to go into that study. But basically, it was humongous, if you will, of a hit. So the country, the world, the planet has been hit by asteroids. It's been hit by comets. It's had great devastation. Nothing like this, though. Nothing like this. So let's look at another interesting illustration. On Saturday, April 26, 1986, at 1:23 in the morning in Chernobyl. Now, the Chernobyl reactor number 4... the Russians, the USSR, was there conducting an unauthorized test of reactor number 4. You say, what does this have to do with wormwood? Well, watch this. They were doing an unauthorized test, and the man who was running the whole thing just was arrogant. He was prideful. He went against all the procedures. And the workers that were there, by their testimony, those that lived for just a few days after the explosion, warned him and said, what you're doing is wrong. He rebutted them. He rebuked them. And he went on because he was trying to gain clout among the Communist Party. And in communism, that's very popular to do. It gets you more money, more prestige. And as he did that, there was a meltdown. You all remember the story, at least what had happened. And the reactor exploded. And listen to some of these statistics because they're absolutely amazing. Once the test had failed, 36 seconds later, 150 tons of uranium caught fire, filled the basement of the reactor, and blew a 200 million pound cement roof off its lid. Just poof. It was 10 times Hiroshima bombs. That was the effect of this, 10 times, or 10 Hiroshima nuclear bombs. The fire burned for 3 years. The rain and the fallout went from Scandinavia to Italy to Great Britain. The farmlands were contaminated at about 200 or 2 million acres the size of Connecticut. People could not live in it. They say for a century. I read recently that there was some visitation back into the area. I'm not exactly sure of all that, but that's what the scientists at the time said would happen. But you know what's interesting about the name Chernobyl? In Russian, it's translated wormwood. Wormwood. Now, that's not the wormwood here, as some people try to use it and say, see, it's already happened. But what's interesting, and here's what I want you to see, that if this asteroid were to hit, or when I say it, should, not if, when it hits, what if it hit a nuclear facility and hit more than one reactor. In other words, it's not carrying a payload of hemlock or a payload of anything that is bitter, but it hits something that causes bitterness. Interesting thoughts either way. And so I wanted to add that in there. Had something like this taken place? Absolutely. In fact, this particular event in Chernobyl was so earth-shaking that many historians believe it was the fall of the Soviet Union, because they realized they needed to change and to be more open about themselves. Okay? So think about that. Another thing to think about is that LA sits, their water system sits on a fault line. Sits on a fault line. Again, that's just LA, but think of this. Think of how many other LAs there are. Think how many other major cities there are that their water supply sit on a fault line. Then this particular wormwood, which I'm going to give you some very powerful description of this, when it hits the earth, what it could do all over the earth, okay? All right, so very, very interesting. This is a huge event. The other thing is, when this asteroid hits, it's going to shake the entire system of the world. So earthquakes and volcanoes are going to erupt. Hurricanes will develop. The entire environment, you better get a hold of Al Gore if he's still around, because he's going to have a problem. He's going to need some oxygen, because everything is going to go absolutely bananas when this thing happens. Remember, this is not a spitball. This is not a spitball. God's not throwing a pebble. This is a massive asteroid. It says a great star is going to hit the earth. Now, going back to those other verses where I said some scholars believe, this is actually the asteroid breaking apart and exploding from verse 7 and to its final destination in verse 11. Because they have said, scientists believe, that as the asteroid breaks apart, there would be trails of it, and this piece would do this, and this piece would do that. So you have a third part of the trees, then you have a third part of the green grass, and then you have the oceans, and then you have the ships, and then you have the final bam of this amazing, powerful asteroid hitting the earth. So interesting, if that's the way it happens, that's the way it happens. All I know is that there are three angels that sound their trumpets, and as they sound their trumpets, bam, 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 takes place according to biblical prophecy. Good enough for me? Good enough for me. You know, good enough for me. I believe that. Finally, let me give you another illustration, not finally the teaching, so don't look for your keys. You guys are like, I'm leaving. Finally, on this, and you know, I mentioned people's names in passing because it's good to glean off other people, but I am not a Christian television chasing person or anybody of notoriety. But I like Dr. Tom Horn. I like a lot of his teachings. I'm not into everything. And so, you know, please don't write to me about it. I don't need to know your thoughts about it. But Dr. Tom Horn has a very interesting prophecy that's called the Wormwood Prophecy. Some of y'all, those of you watching, may know all about it. And it's interesting, and I want to read some of this to you, because it's interesting because it's not just based on prophecy, scripture. It's also based on a vision and a dream, which I'm always careful about, but it's also based on science. So when you put those kind of together, it makes you go, it's possible. So we look at this, and so there's research about NASA and a particular asteroid. And I'm gonna give you the spelling of it. APOPHIS. APOPHIS, which is what NASA named it. Now, he had a vision and a dream years and years ago. He didn't quite understand all of it, but that was the first word when he prayed about it. He got that name. But then NASA in 2004 discovered an asteroid. Some of y'all remember. I remember it vaguely, because I remember all the hoopla, and they had said that this asteroid is going to strike the Earth. Some of y'all may remember that. And then all of a sudden, it got hooey-hoo, everybody got real quiet about it, and they don't talk about it much anymore, at least not like they did before. So this name is of an ancient Egyptian god, which means god of chaos, of evil, darkness, and destruction. That's the name. Apotheos. I don't know if I'm saying it properly or not. But NASA said in 2004 it would hit the earth, but now they're basically covering it up, and they're saying, no, it's not going to hit the earth, but it's going to take out the satellites and the whole system by 2029. Again, we don't care about dates. I'm not interested in dates, whether it's a dream or not. But it's interesting that they went from, hey, it's going to hit the earth, to now it's going to be kind of a near miss, and you know, it's just going to take the satellites out. Oh, okay. You mean those things that are not too far over my head? Okay, gotcha. Some believe that it is so serious and so severe that that is why the space program, the new space division, the military space program that we have under President Trump at the time, was so speedily developed and put into action, is because they are working to find a way to neutralize this particular asteroid. That's what some people in the know say. I don't know. All I know is this Bible, our Bible, says a great star, a great asteroid is coming, and it's going to do just that. Is this that? I don't know. Tom Horn says that he bets everything, and I say that very lightly. That's not his words, but basically he says he has no doubt that this is going to take place in the near future, and I'll give you the time frame in which he believes. Again, I'm not persuaded by that. I'm not persuaded by any of that. All I know is I'm going to live by faith, and we're going to do what God's told us to do, and we'll see everything transpire at the perfect time. But listen to this. This is scientific fact. Again, this is to their best ability from NASA. This thing is 1,200 feet wide, or four NFL football fields wide. Again, it's not a spitball. It's not a skimming rock. This is a mega asteroid. It weighs an estimated 20 million metric tons. It's traveling at 28,000 miles per hour. That's pretty fast, isn't it? Okay. NASA experts say it will, and if it does, it will hit near California-Mexico border. They've already have it mapped out. Those guys, I guess they drink Red Bull and play video games all night and have nothing else to do, but they know all this stuff, and they figure it out, and that's what where they think it's going to happen. Okay? And listen to this. So it would hit Mexico border, California border, and it would, if you put it all together, this is what the scientists said, if you take it, all the nukes of the earth, all of our arsenal, China, Russia, North Korea, anybody, you put it all together and you set them off at one time, that would be the impact of this asteroid. Does it sound like the possibility of this? Does it sound like many men would die? Does it sound like it would hit a place and places where water would become bitter? It sure does. It fits a lot of the biblical definition. Is that what it's going to be? We don't know. But again, Tom Horn believes that on April, what is it, Friday the 13th, something like that, April 13th, 2025, he believes this is what's going to happen. So, you know, he's been accurate before. Why am I bringing that in this teaching? It's not to support that. It's to say, what if he's right and what I'm teaching you now is not far at all? In other words, the things I've taught of the seals and how close we are to tribulation and how close we are to the great things of revival and all the harvest, if that's true, if we hinge it upon that, which we don't, and we can't because we just can't do that, but what if we're closer than we've ever been? Right. We got work to do. And this is why I believe the intensity of life is happening. Sunday morning services and the words the Lord's given us. I believe we're marching towards. Now, are we marching towards that date? I don't know. I'm not worried about a date. I'm going to get through today. You know what I mean? I want to live my life to the fullness today. But if I know something like this is happening, then it allows me to take perspective and look at biblical prophecy and say, you know what? This and this and this have to line up before that ever happens. So guess what? If we are in that season, then we're in a season for a very, very bumpy ride. And that's why we're experiencing what we're experiencing. So anyways, I wanted to bring that out to you. So you have a scientific view, you have somebody who had a spiritual experience, and then you have biblical prophecy. We put it all together, we see what happens. But at the end of the day, it will happen because the Bible said so. And that's where I put my trust. Is that good enough? All right, that's why I brought it out. Okay, so let's go to the next verse. And the fourth angel sounded. He trumpeted, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. Again, scholars believe that out of this asteroid, the explosion of the asteroid, the gases and all that it would do to the atmosphere, the volcanoes going off, the earthquakes, the hurricanes, the whole magnetic force of the earth, everything just goes tilt. That it causes such a darkness, it covers the skies and it covers the lights. And I'm going to give you some illustrations and biblical proof that it has happened before. Okay, so the third part, this is the fourth angel, the third part of the sun was actually dimmed. That's what it means. In the Greek, it means it was dimmed. So imagine this with me. The third part of the sun was dimmed. The definition in the Greek means to be struck or pounded. The third part of the moon and stars were dimmed or turned down. Now, that may not seem like a very big deal, but watch this. 8 hours is a third of 24 hours. Is that correct? 4 hours out of your 12 hours of daylight are dim. Then 4 hours of your night will be supernaturally dark. Let me try that again because some of y'all went to public school. And Tony's like, yeah, me too. 8 hours is 8 hours is a third of 24 hours. I had to read this several times, Tony, by the way. 4 hours out of your 12 hours of daylight are dim. So we go out in our day tomorrow, and 4 hours of that total 8 hours of light is dim. Like dim, darkened dim. And I don't know about you, I like light. I like to see things. You know what I mean? I like to have brightness as far as being able to see things. And then my 4 hours out of my night is supernaturally dark. What do you mean by that, Pastor? There is no stars to see. There's no moon to see. Now, I don't know if you've been in places. I've been places in different parts of the world where it is so pitch black. It's scary. You know what I mean? It's not comfortable to be in somewhere where you've never been in the darkness of night. And even that can't compare to this because this will be a supernatural darkness. Are you getting what's happening? The earth is convulsing. God is judging the earth. And now man has the lights of life dimmed. Dimmed. He can't see that well. All right? The cycle of time. Listen to this. The cycle of time will be off because we use the sun for time. The earth is already on a tilt. It's tilting. It's messed up. Farming would be messed up, wouldn't it? Because now crops wouldn't grow properly because it needs the sun and other elements concerning the greater and the lesser lights. Do we have any example of this? I'm glad you asked. Exodus chapter 10, 21 through 23. Let's look at this. Isn't that wild, man? Again, this is going to be super. When I show you this verse, this is the best way I can explain it. This is the best way for us to see it by God's word. Are you ready? Here we go. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand towards heaven, that there may be what? Darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. That's why I want you to highlight and capitalize. It's bold in my notes here. Felt. That's dark. That is dark. The darkness that's coming will be so supernatural, it'll be felt, even in the daytime. And man will be like, what is wrong? Why is the sun like it is? Why? I can't comprehend my life. Can you imagine all the beachgoers? The people that love tans? They're going to be so mad at God, won't they? You better repent. Don't worry about your tan, baby. You're going to get an eternal tan if you're not careful. All right, next verse. And Moses stretched forth his hand towards heaven, and there was a what? Thick darkness in just a few places. No, in all of the land of Egypt, how many days? 3 days. Next verse. They saw not one another. That's dark. I hear you, but I can't see you. Could you imagine that? We can't. I can't imagine that. I have headlights in my car. I've got a lamp for hunting on that, you know, for whatever you're working on cars. You've got flashlights, LEDs. Come on, stick up lights in your closet. Walk-in lights by motion. Come on, we got all this stuff. But apparently this darkness is going to be supernatural. I'm not saying none of those items will work. It's just think about how dark it's going to be. And then here, they couldn't even see one another. Neither rose any from his place for 3 days. Where are you going to go? You won't crack your head, right? This was Egypt. So is there evidence it's happened? Right here. But all the children of Israel had light in where? Their dwellings. I'm going to run around this place. They had it in their house. They had the lights. Now you say that was Israel. Does that apply to us here in the book of Revelation? I think so. I think that God will give us the source of light that we need. But I'm going to tell you, when this comes, you go back to Revelation 8. I think when this comes, we're not going to care about small things. We're going to care about survival. People are going to care about, I'm talking about humanity. Humanity is going to be like, oh my, how are we going to get out of this thing? Because this is going to shake them up. Think about some of your family members. You think this is going to bother them? I think so. Okay, so in Revelation 6, 8, one quarter of the population is dead. Now you have many men die. Okay? So I just want you to have that in your mind. One fourth of the population is dead. Now you have many men die. We don't know how many humans that is. So again, when I say, and I'm not being cruel, when I say that the book of Revelation is a book of depopulation in part, it is. He's absolutely dealing with humanity. Okay? So let's look at verse 13. I think I'm going to, I don't know. And I behold and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven. Now let's stop there for a minute. Let's translate this and let's look at this. The word angel there in translation is actually eagle. It's actually eagle. If you go back to original Greek texts, the Berean Literal Study Bible and others, the North American Standard Bible, you'll look and see that they use this word, angel, for eagle. Okay, and I want to kind of give you a reason for that so you can kind of understand. An eagle is a bird of what? Bird of prey. It's a bird of prey. Okay, this eagle announces the coming woe to the earth. So it makes a lot of sense. Okay, we know it could be translated as angel, but eagle was preferred here by ancient text translations because in this particular context. Now, why an eagle? The first thing to understand is the Greek word eagulos, translated angel in the King James version of Revelation 8:13, literally means a messenger. Listen to this. Although it's almost always translated angel, theoretically the messenger could be an angel or an eagle. Excuse me. Several other translations, which I told you already, use the word eagle. They're deriving their authority from the older Greek texts that show the word to be aetios, A-E-T-O-S, okay, which means an eagle. Now watch this. If aetios is the Greek, is the correct word, an interesting possibility occurs. This word only appears 5 times in the New Testament. In Matthew 24:28, the parallel message in Luke 17, 37. It's translated as a vulture. Three times it is translated the eagle, or all in the book of Revelation, and this is where it gets interesting. Watch this. Follow me, because there's a reason why I'm belaboring and giving you more information. In Revelation 4:7, one of the cherubims is described as being like what? A flying eagle. Okay? Then there's reference in Revelation 8:13. And the final one is in Revelation 12:14, where the woman representing the remnant of Israel will be given the wings of what? A great eagle to escape into the desert at the beginning of the great tribulation. But put these two together, and you have a pretty good circumstantial case that the angel or the word is eagle in Revelation 8:13. It could be that the fourth cherub was sent from the throne of God, watch this, to warn the world of the coming judgments and also to help Israel to make its supernatural escape from Satan later on. If this is the case, it's easier to justify the King James use of angel instead of eagle, since the cherubim are heavenly beings and could be considered to be part of the angelic ranks. Again, it's not going to keep you in heaven or keep you out of heaven. It's just interesting that the word in the original older Greek was translated as eagle, and then you have the cherubim. But what I want you to see here is not just that. That's theology. I want you to see it, but I want you to see this. He flies through the midst of heaven saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe." Now, we don't know if earth gets to hear this or not, but he is speaking to the inhabitants. Is that right? The word woe translated is grief. Grief, grief, grief. This angel, I believe, is giving the final warning. Now, there's some bad stuff that's already happened in the seals. Bad stuff that's already happened in the beginning of the wrath of the Lamb and the trumpets being blown and the devastation of wormwood and all those other events prior to that. No doubt about it. But what is about to take place is beyond our imagination. And I believe God in his mercy is still warning earth and still warning man and saying, I'm telling you, I'm going to judge you. And I think and I believe that in that period of time, the church is going to be doing the same thing. We're going to be warning people because we got the playbook. We'll have the Bible. This isn't going to be mysterious to us. Right now, prophecy is in a glass darkly. We see a glass darkly. We can't understand. It's in a veil sometimes. But Daniel, remember, he shut it up until the latter days, and then things would be more clear. That's why we see better than we did for our forefathers of 30, 40, 50, 100 years ago. Not that they were ignorant. We just see a little different because we're getting closer to eternity. Does that make sense? I think it does. And so we're going to have the playbook. And like I said earlier, I believe that. I'm not saying we're going to have tribulation parties where come over. Come on over, man. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen next. I don't think it's going to be that. Well, maybe. But I think we're going to be so in line because we'll have the information. We'll be like, I'm telling you, this is what's going to happen next. So it's an amazing time. So he cries out, woe, 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 grief, grief, grief to the inhabitants of the earth by the reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. He's saying, let me tell you something. This thing is going to be so bad. It's going to be so terrible because these other angels, they haven't sounded yet. Okay, so grief, grief, grief. Now watch this. From judgment on creation, for the most part, is now going to be judgment on creation or creature, man. It's going to be in humanity. For what is about to come, you ain't seen nothing yet. This could be the literal final warning to man. And from my theological point of view, I believe that. I believe this right here is the final warning. You say, wasn't that other stuff bad? Absolutely it's bad. But I still think and believe that even in his judgment, God is merciful. Go to Luke chapter 21, 25 through 26, and we're going to get out of here. And I think I got you through the whole chapter 8. All right, go there real quick. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and there shall be led away captive in all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Next verse. And there shall be signs, what? In the sun. Did we just talk about it? In the moon. In the stars. And upon the earth. Watch this. Distress of nations. When that meteorite, that asteroid hits, whether it's the one that they're talking about from NASA and Tom Horn, it doesn't matter. When this particular one hits, the nations are going to be distressed. They ain't going to know what to do. Our space program didn't work. We tried shooting whatever we shot at. It didn't work. Didn't stop it. With perplexity, don't know what to do, pulling their hair out. The sea and the waves roaring. Doesn't that sound like wormwood? It sounds like the earth is convulsing. It sounds like earthquakes and hurricanes and tornadoes. Next verse. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Watch this. For looking after these things. I personally believe this is what I'm saying. Man is going to be able to look and see. He'll see it in the sky. He'll see the darkness. Man will be able to discover these things, and it's not going to be hidden. It's not going to be mysterious. It's going to be right in man's face. And that's why you and I have the greatest job ahead of us, because not only are we warning them now as a precursor, we're going to take them through the program. We're going to take them through the guide and say, hey, this is what the deal is. And better than that, we're going to show you Christ. Things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be what? Shaken. That isn't just governments. The powers of heaven, the atmosphere, the atoms, the neutrons, the protons, the things that keep the earth together, all the powers that keep the earth motivated and moving and rotating, and all those different things will be dealt with in such a tremendous supernatural way. Whew. I don't know how to explain it any better than that. All I know is it's going to be absolutely wild and absolutely horrible for those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. For you and I, it's not going to be a cakewalk, but at least you and I will know the truth. And I believe God will watch over us and take care of us, and we'll talk about that at another time. Father, thank you for the opportunity to minister chapter 8. I thank you for opening our eyes and our hearts to see. Historically, we've seen it in science. We see it, Father God, in prophecy. Most of all, we see it in your word. These things are going to happen. Help us to be bolder in our witness, to tell people that, number one, you love them, and Lord, that you have a great plan for them, and they can avoid these things. They can avoid these things, and most of all, they can avoid hell. We thank you for your grace. We look forward to Sunday morning. Bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys. Be blessed. Be safe.